Delighted to be joined now by Ellen Williams, who's events manager for the charity Look UK. Look UK recently put on the first fully accessible family festival to take place in the UK, and she joins me now to tell me all about it. Hello, Ellen.
Hi, Barry, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so Ellen, obviously we spoke to your colleague Kevin earlier in the year. He was telling us all about it. We've all been looking forward to it. So how did it go?
So the idea for the festival really came from just sort of a random conversation that a couple of my colleagues had a couple of years ago, where we just said, you know, oh, it'd be amazing if there was such a thing, because we were talking about family festivals and how sort of difficult that sort of space is to navigate if you're a child or a parent with a visual impairment. So that's where the idea came from. At Look, we are passionate about creating a community for people who are affected by visual impairment, because we really value the fact that a sense of community is important for people who can often feel isolated or are a minority in a lot of cases. So through the events and the projects that we do, that's at the heart of what we provide. The services that we provide is creating this sense of community. So the festival, it was called Lookfest, and it was open to families with a child or a parent who had a visual impairment. So all in all, we had about 100 people attend, parents and children, but it was also an opportunity for visually impaired young adults to volunteer. So it was really important that we be able to offer a chance of volunteering for young adults as well, because we know how difficult it is for people to get jobs when you've got a visual impairment, and work experience is really important, and volunteering work is often essential in changing that. So it was a big team effort to try and provide this space where people could come for a weekend, enjoy lots of different accessible activities in a gorgeous location in nature, and just have a good time, really.
And where did it take place, Ellen?
So it took place in Herefordshire, in the gorgeous Herefordshire countryside, just on the border of Hereford and Abergavenny.
Lovely.
So, yeah, it was beautiful. We had two big flat fields and a woodland as well, which was really good. We had some forest school activities and crafts and things happening in the woods, and they went down really well. Lots of den building. It was great.
Brilliant. So it was a three-day event. Talk me through some of the things that you had going on each day, please.
So Friday, all the families would arrive, and we started off with a scavenger hunt and a bit of a party. So we had a fancy dress disco in the evening. So that was Friday, and we had a campfire and basically just an opportunity for everyone to get together and get to know each other. Saturday and Sunday were the main activity days. So Saturday we had things like forest school, where we were den building, carnival art, a festival arts workshop, which were run by a carnival arts group. So that was making art out of natural materials.
And you were also joined by American echolocation expert Dan Kish as well. That must have been great having him there for all his expertise and knowledge.
He was present for the whole weekend delivering different workshops and talks and talking to parents one-to-one sort of thing. So he was around all the time with his team. It was really lucky for us, and we were delighted to have him on site. And it was amazing to have him sort of wandering around and demonstrating echolocation in, you know, in a real situation, because it was one of the biggest challenges for us was how to make the festival site accessible, because we did essentially just have two big fields and a wood. So how do you make that kind of site easy to navigate for people who can't see? So we had a guide rope system and different audio clues and things, but it was invaluable really to have Dan around teaching people the skills and different ways of different skills and different methods of being able to navigate that space as well.
Now, I'm sure the families that came along were all strangers to begin with. How did they get on with one another, and what did they think of your ambitious project?
So we've had such good feedback. It's been amazing. I think what's been really nice about it is it was relatively small, so that everyone did have a chance to get to know each other. And, you know, it wasn't so crowded that you felt sort of in the middle of a lot of people all the time. It was intimate enough that you could get to know one another and recognise each other as the weekend went on.
Excellent.
So there were different activities on for children and for parents all the time. So we had different discussion groups and things for parents on as well. We had yoga sessions and mindfulness sessions. So it gave parents a chance to have a bit of a chill and to talk to other parents. But it was also really important that parents get that opportunity to give their kids a bit of freedom, but while knowing that they were in a safe environment and, you know, that lots of volunteers and people were around looking after them. And that's proved really well. So many people have said that they've never been able to have that freedom in such a safe space before.
I would imagine, Ellen, that would be a great time for parents to sit and talk about their children's conditions and speak to people that are in similar situations, something they might not always get a chance to do.
Yeah, definitely. We found that a lot of parents connected with other parents whose children have similar sight conditions. So I'm sure we can relate to the fact that with something like visual impairment, a lot of the time you can feel quite isolated and you can feel very sort of alone and like you're the only one. And it's such a sort of light bulb moment when you meet someone that is, you know, within half an hour's drive away and has so much in common with you. And then, but you never knew about them before. So it's really sort of fortunate to be able to provide these spaces and provide these events where people can connect in that way and then go on to form meaningful connections afterwards.
And another thing that must have been difficult for you guys organising was getting the fine balance for being able to entertain the children, but also keep the adults amused and occupied.
Yeah, well, it was a fairly relaxed environment because we had different activities going on all the time. It was very relaxed and flexible in the way that you could drop in and out of different things and try things where you wanted. And, you know, nothing was sort of mandatory. So you were very free to walk around and drop in and out of things.
Now, Ellen, when I think festivals, I'm going back a few years, granted, but I remember inadequate toilet facilities and muddy fields. Hopefully running a smaller operation, you guys weren't faced with those same problems.
So to make it a bit easier for families, we offered glamping options. So families could opt to pay for glamping tents that were fully furnished and that already had sort of beds and mattresses and bedding in them. That alleviated a lot of stress for families, especially families who had visually impaired parents, you know, and travelling on the train. It spared them having to lug a load of things on the train with them. So they were really great. And then in terms of the facilities, we had accessible facilities and toilets and showers. And because it was a relatively small festival, we were able to maintain it. And part of our wonderful volunteer team, part of their role was to make sure that the facilities were all maintained and that, you know, that everything was kept clean and safe for everyone to use at all times as well. So it worked really well.
So your volunteers, they must have worked hard also.
Yes. So we had a wonderful team of volunteers, half of which were visually impaired, a lot of which were already our look mentors. So the way we worked is that we had split the volunteers into three teams, and each team was responsible for a different meal time. And volunteers were really there to be present in activities with children, to keep children engaged and you know, keep everybody safe and to help people get involved so that it would give parents that little bit of space to step back if they wanted to. But also just to be around and acting as positive role models to parents and being present to talk to parents and to share their experiences and to contribute to discussions and things like that. So everyone did work incredibly hard, but everyone enjoyed it as well from the feedback we've gotten, which is really amazing.
From looking at the website, it seems it was a roaring success. Are there plans for more next year? Are you going to have another one next year?
Yeah, we hope so. We really hope so. It's all dependent on funding. So it's just a case of watching this space at the moment.
And just lastly, Ellen, how can people find out more information about the event and your charity, Look UK?
Yeah, so the festival website itself is lookfest.org. So lookfest.org. That's the dedicated website for the festival. And then our general website is look-uk.org. And we've got some information on there as well.
Brilliant. Well, it sounds a fantastic charity, and Lookfest certainly sounds as if it went down a storm with everyone involved. And we look forward to next year's. But in the meantime, Ellen Williams, events manager from the charity Look UK, thanks very much for talking to us today on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Barry.